Before we get started this morning, I know this is a topic you've probably got 17,000 emails on, the coronavirus. I'm even getting them from the bank. But we're monitoring the situation. And, you know, it's a fluid situation, so we'll do things and make changes as necessary. But right now, the guidance, at least as of yesterday, is treat it as a really bad flu season right now. And do the things you normally do during a bad flu season. If you're sick, stay at home. Please don't go coughing on anybody else. And also, if you want to switch from handshakes and hugs to, you know, an elbow bump, what do they call these, a chicken wing now, I guess? Please don't be offended if that's what someone's preference is. We're just trying to keep everybody safe. We want to use prudence for as we go ahead. So we'll keep you informed of what's going on. I've been looking forward to this day for a while. So I know a couple of people here have been looking forward to. After a sermon and song, John Furter and Cassie Pepicelli, I got to remember how to say it, will be making their marriage covenant. So this is kind of an exciting day for us here at Calvary Church. So I thought it would make sense to preach on marriage, since we're going to have a wedding. But since this is a Sunday service, at the same time, I want the sermon to be applicable to singles who wish to someday be married. So this will be a marriage prep of sorts. For those of us that are married, maybe this is going to be a good time of checkup and see where we are with our marriage. And of course, we want this to be a special message for Jean and Cassie so that they go away with some guidance. So I call this sermon, God's Plan, a 9 to 10 marriage. God's Plan, a 9 to 10 marriage. What do I mean by that? Many times I ask couples who come to me for a little bit of help to rate their marriage from 0 to 10, 10 being a godly marriage that is pleasing to God. Now we all, let's face it, we all want to rate our marriages, whether they be future or present, in the 9 to 10 range, right? Okay, I just wanted to make sure we're tracking here. Okay. But the truth is that for a lot of married couples, we can't rate our marriage in that range. But just because we aren't there today does not mean we can't get there. Can I get an amen on that? We can get there. And if we are married or going to get married, I want you to know for sure that God wants your marriage to be in the 9 to 10 range. That's his plan A. There is no plan B. His goal is not for you to survive marriage. His goal is not that you stay together for the kids. Those are low bars. His goal for your marriage is that you thrive in your marriage. Amen? That's what he wants. And if you are both Christians, there is nothing preventing you from having that 9 to 10 marriage. But you may have some work to do. You may have some work to do. There's only two impediments. It's you and your spouse. If you're committed, you can get there because God will be with you to help you. Now, it's spring training for baseball down south. And don't we wish we could be down there, right, enjoying this thing? But think about this for a second. Accomplished baseball players who are at the top of their game, the best in the world, are doing the exact same fundamental drills right now that our kids will be doing who are just learning how to play the game. So with that in mind, because the fundamentals of the game are very important, no matter what level you're at, fundamentals are important. And it's the same way in marriage. There are certain fundamentals. And I'm going to take a few of them today. There's more than the ones I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to talk about three of them. I want to go back to do a little bit of spring training today. Three biblical fundamentals of marriage, which may be a refresher for many of you. But for some of you, I expect this is going to be news. If you get these three basic fundamentals right, you'll have a solid platform to build your marriage skills upon. But if you don't get these right, you will find your marriage to be unsteady. But I want to make sure you understand this. No matter where your marriage is right now, God can bring you to 9 or 10 if you do things his way. So let's pray. Lord, your holy word is a lamp for our feet. May you give us clear understanding today. Comfort we who are afflicted and give us hope and guidance. And may your word afflict we who are comfortable in our blindness. Give me clarity in thought, and may I be faithful to the correct application of your truth. But may not one of us leave here today untouched by your holy word. We pray these things in the name of your committed, faithful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Okay, before I start talking about marriage, let me talk about being single. If you are single, there is nothing wrong with you. Being single is a perfectly fine state of being. In fact, at any one time, 50% of Americans above the age of 15 are single. And you know who else was single and was doing pretty good? His name was Jesus Christ. The Bible actually commends and encourages single life, even calls it a gift. Check it out in 1 Corinthians 7:7. The Apostle Paul says, singleness is your time to live, quote, in undivided devotion to the Lord, close quote. I did a whole sermon series on being single. It's September 2018. You can listen to it on our website. You can use today's sermon to prepare you if and when the Lord brings the right person for you in your life. So let's get started. You ready to go? How about John and Cassie? You ready to hear some good stuff? You're taking notes. That's why I like this couple. Biblical fundamental number one. Our manual for marriage is the Bible. Can I get an amen on this? This is where we look for guidance. Psalm 19:7 to 8 says this: the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. It only makes sense that we should go to God's word for marriage instruction. God the Father invented marriage. Did you know that? God the Father invented marriage, and Jesus, his son, reaffirmed it. Matthew 19:4-5, this is what Jesus said when he was talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He said, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them female, male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Jesus reaffirmed a very simple principle that he first, God the Father, enunciated right at the beginning of creation. Marriage is between one man and one woman. It's that simple. But God doesn't end his guidance here, and he doesn't invent marriage and say, okay, now you're off on your own. He gives us a whole manual how to do marriage right, and it's called the Bible. And he gives us his manual for a reason. Deuteronomy 10:13, Moses tells the people at this time, and it's just as relevant today, observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. One of the big reasons for the Bible is for our own good. The designer of us, the designer of marriage, wants the best for us, so he tells us how to do it right. Now, I will agree with you, this is an old book. But human nature hasn't changed a bit. Science and culture has changed, so it's much different. But human nature has not changed a bit. What was best for marriage at Moses' time was good at Jesus' time, and it is still true today. Think about this for a second. Truth by its nature is old. Now, no issue regarding marriage is more countercultural than God's plan concerning sexual relations. Hebrews 13:4 says this: marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. God's word is clear. Sexual intimacy was and is designed for marriage and marriage only. However, our culture is preaching a different gospel about sex. It actually promotes premarital sex and cohabitation as a good thing. Take her out for a spin. Try her on for size. Unfortunately, one of the problems facing the church is that the culture has done a good job of invading the church. A lot of the culture's theology has invaded the church. However, God's word addresses this conflict between what the culture says about sexual relations and what God, the designer, says. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." There is no better advice than God's word in the Bible. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, I want to call your attention to an article that appeared in USA Today way back on February 11th, 1999. USA Today. It was titled, "Aha! Revenge of the Church Ladies." If you look it up, write it down. I encourage, especially for everybody, parents, write this article down. Go look it up. I'd love for everybody to read this article. It's a great article. It's short. The article cited multiple secular studies and surveys that consistently concluded this, and I quote, "Church ladies and the men who sleep with them are the most sexually satisfied people on the face of the earth. Put another way, churchgoers are apt to celebrating the transcendent intimacy found only in the marriage bed," close quote. Married Christians have the best sex. This is from secular sources. These are not Christian surveys and studies. This is from secular studies, multiple ones over the years. The article reminds us that God gave us an entire book of the Bible to describe marital intimacy, the Song of Songs. Did you know contained in there was actually a description of what goes on in honeymoon night? From start to climax. And at the end of it, God blesses the whole thing. You know why? Because he invented it. And there's many passages in the Bible like this. Proverbs 5:18-19. "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love." I try to be faithful to what the Word of God tells me to do. Do you think that the designer of marriage and sexuality might be looking out for us? I think so. Expect God's plan for a 9-to-10 marriage to be countercultural. It is. God's 10 for marriage is going to be much different than the culture's. It will. But it also is going to be better. So biblical fundamental number 2. Marriage begins with a legal covenant before Almighty God. Only then are you married in God's eyes, and don't let anybody tell you anything different. Malachi 2:14 says this, and it says this in elsewhere too. "She is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant," right? John and Cassie will be making a covenant witnessed by God and us that is legally binding by the state of Connecticut. They will not be married until the covenant ceremony is complete and I send in the paperwork to West Hartford. Until then, they are not married in the state's eyes and they are not married in God's eyes. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. Now, John and Cassie will solemnly vow to stay married till one should die. God fully expects them to honor that particular vow. But understand this. Whoever marries a couple, whether it be a pastor, a rabbi, an imam, or a justice of the peace, it is still a covenant for the one true and living God, and lifelong marriage is still God's expectation. Anytime or anywhere a man legally marries a woman, God holds them to his standard of lifelong marriage, whether they agree to the vow or not, because it's God who superintends over marriage. Now, knowing that, parents, teach your kids and your grandkids this truth, the truth of lifelong marriage. And you know what's even better than that? It's to model it. That's the best thing to do. Singles, burn this into your memory, lifelong marriage. This will affect who you date. I see some of you have come together with people that you're not married to. You will continually ask yourself, do I want to possibly fall in love with this person and spend the rest of my life with them? And that's a good thing. It's a good question to be asking. You might say, Pastor, I'm only 16. Can you give me a break? Are you telling me I have to consider this? When I date someone when I'm 16 years old? Yeah, I am. The reason for that is many people end up marrying their high school sweethearts, don't you? How many? Any high school sweethearts here? Yeah, we got a few of them. It happens. Don't put yourself in a position to fall in love with someone that you shouldn't be marrying. Because people do this all the time, and they end up regretting it. And remember, I deal with this on a daily basis. Trust me. I'm also telling you this because the covenant on your wedding day is much more important than the bash all surrounding it. Let me say that again. The covenant, what we're going to do today, is more important than all that other stuff that you spend so much time and money on. By the way, does anyone know how much the average couple spent on a wedding in 2019? How much? It's $33,900. Down from over $35,000 a couple years ago. Now, I'm sure there's some of the older people here probably bought houses for that, right, at one time. And that's after student debt. We haven't talked about that. You know, I read in the paper this week that because it's going to be such a tight battle, Bernie Sanders is going to bring his campaign to Connecticut. I thought we'd go there and see if we can get free weddings, too. Oh, the emails I'll get tomorrow. Listen closely. This is so important. The covenant ceremony is the beef. Everything else is just sizzle. What we're going to do today is the beef. The bash that you're going to have later on, it's all sizzle. It's nice. It's great. Enjoy it. Knock yourself out how much ever you want to spend on it. But it's not necessary. What we're doing today is the important part. Amen? John and Cassie, I really have to commend you for realizing early on that what we will do today is the really important part of your wedding. And thank you, parents, for coming and you realizing that too. That means a lot to them and us. You can still have the bash later on with every frill you can afford. So go for it. Now, I want you to stop and think for a minute. Did you ever think about all you have to do to prepare to get Connecticut to issue a driver's license? Did you ever think about it? You get a book, you got to study it, then you got to pass a test. There's an application. You still have an eye test, right? Good, I'm glad. Driving lessons, another test. Then if you pass, there's restrictions, and then finally you get a full license. It's a long process. It takes time, and it can be pricey too, right? What do you got to do for the state of Connecticut to to a marriage license. Apply online. Cassie told me last night it took her about 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Show up with your ID. Have a check for $50. And you're golden. You got the license. Driver's license, marriage license. Maybe that's at least in part of the reason hardly everyone, hardly anyone loses their driver's license, but about a third of marriages end in divorce. I want to tell you, one of the best investments that you can make before your marriage is premarital counseling. If you want me to marry you, premarital counseling is a non-negotiable prerequisite. I work couples through a family life book called Preparing for Marriage. We meet 6 to 8 times, and there's homework between all classes. John and Cassie broke the record for getting it done in 6 weeks, and they worked it and did a great job, did all the homework, and did it well. I like to recommend 3 to 6 months, but this is what can happen if you're committed and you invest the time. You will learn God's design for marriage. You will learn key marriage skills. You'll share your past and your expectations for the future with your fiancé, or you could even do this with someone you are considering marrying. You don't have to be engaged to be married. This is a great tool to determine if this is the right person and you want it for each other. Remember, wedding is one day. Your marriage is for a lifetime. Studies have shown premarital counseling to reduce the chance of divorce by 30 to 50%. 30 to 50%. You know, I saw one guy online said, well, I'm not so sure that I can buy into those, that those are accurate, because most of the premarital counseling is done in a religious setting, mostly among Christians, and it's combined with being in a healthy church. Okay. Worst case situation, 30%, 50% decline in a divorce rate if you get premarital counseling and you're in a healthy church. Figure it out. And if you're an attendee of this church, my services are free. And you know what? My good friend Larry Gallup is always telling me, Pastor, you are good for nothing. It's great to have friends like Larry. We're so close. Now, in all seriousness, this is one of the most important investments you'll ever make in your marriage. And here's something else. This is one of the most important investments you'll make in your children. I'm going to come back to that. Biblical fundamental number 3. Our relationship with our spouse is our most important earthly relationship. And therefore, our behavior and our words ought to reflect that attitude. Ephesians 5:22 to 6:9 are referred to as the household codes. Now, there's an order to the prescriptions for the household codes. First for spouses, then for parenting, then for work relationships. Order presented is critical. It represents priority. Our relationship to our spouse is more important than our relationship to our children, which are both more important than our relationship to our work. Now, it doesn't mean those other two things aren't important. They are. They're critically important. We're talking about primacy here. I bring this up for 2 reasons. Well, I guess one reason is most people don't understand that. But also, your most important relationship overall, I want you to understand, is with Jesus. I'm talking about earthly relationships when I'm talking about a spouse. Your most important relationship overall is with Jesus. Now, watch this. Watch this. Let's see. We got John and Cassie right here, and we got both of them wanting to grow closer to Jesus. All right? Got that up there. As they both individually try to go closer to Jesus, what's happening to them? Yeah, they will grow closer to each other. as they grow closer to Jesus. Reading your Bible, praying together, being committed to Sunday service, and small group Bible studies, and applying all that you learn in those various disciplines, all which are very important, will bring you closer to Jesus, but it will also bring you closer to each other. And so if you're dating somebody, here's a great rule of thumb for you. During the time that you're dating, ask yourself, am I growing closer to Jesus? If yes, the other person may be a keeper. If the other person is causing you to actually slip from Jesus, it's time for you to run. Secondly, the other problem is we have, this is a big problem, child-centered marriages are a big, big problem. What are child-centered marriages? This is when all of the energy of the parents, the two spouses, is thrown into the rearing of the children, and that God's primacy of marriage slips away or is forgotten altogether. Please do not let that happen. Do not let that happen. Never neglect or forget your spouse over your kids. You must take time to nurture your relationship with your spouse. Carve out at least, you know, and I know there's some seasons that it's tough. You know, the kids, are, you know, between work and the kids, it's exhausting. You know, especially when they're young. It's tough. There's no question about it. And it's hard to nurture your marriage relationship, but you got to work at it. Carve out at least 10 to 15 minutes a day, preferably not at the end of the night when you fall down on the couch totally exhausted. Not the best time. And you can't even keep your eyes open then. Do what you can to have a date night every week to get away. And that date night might be a walk around the park. You don't have to spend any money. Might be going out for coffee. Those are enjoyable times. The key is that you're investing in your marriage on a continuing basis. And as your kids get older, please, parents, do not be afraid to tell your kids to go into the other room and leave you two alone for some period of time. And tell them, it's mom and dad's time. Leave us alone. Now, I realize that's, I understand, I had kids, I know what that means. But go ahead and do it. And I'm going to tell you this. Let me tell you something, and please don't ever forget this. This is true. The greatest gift you can give your kids is to model a godly marriage. The greatest gift you can give your kids is to model a godly marriage. If you do that, it's going to be a heck of a lot less likely that your daughter is going to go near some dude who doesn't love her as Christ loved the church. If you do model a godly marriage, it's a lot less likely your son will accept a woman who doesn't love the Lord and respect him. It's not a guarantee, but a lot less likely. Jean and Cassie, I want you to know that God today wants you to have 9 to 10 marriage. He wants you to thrive, not just to survive. He wants you to thrive together. Because you have both been born again and have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you have everything you need to have that kind of godly relationship. You're missing nothing. How do I know that? Because the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Peter 1:3, he says, his divine power has given us what? Everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Jesus has given you the Holy Spirit. The moment you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he gave you the Holy Spirit. He has given you his word. And he's given you the church, the worldwide church, not just Calvary Church. When you go to Mississippi, there's going to be a lot more churches around there that for you to deal with. Wherever you go in the world, there will be a church. It might be an underground church, depending on where you go, but there will be a church for you. God will have a witness to help surround you with love. Know Jesus and respond. Know Jesus in response. Remember, he only wants the best for you too. When you stumble and sin against each other, and yes, you will. Unfortunately, you will. Remember this, what the Apostle John told you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, meaning Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness, and he'll get you back together again. And I encourage all others here who have professed faith in Jesus to do the same, to know that you've got everything you need, that when you mess up, you can just go in confession and the Lord will restore you. The church here, the one thing I missed here, I want you to know that if both of you are committed, you can have a 9-10 relationship. And as long as we have you, this church right here is committed to help you. We don't have you much longer, but we've tried. and I tell this to everybody else. You got my help. We've got an embedded counselor, Gordon Baker. Raise your hand, Gordon. He's our embedded professional counselor. We have lots of couples. Can I ask, if you've been married 30 years or more, could you stand up, please? 30 years or more, please stand. For everybody else, these are resources. God's put these people here for a reason. You know, they haven't had perfect marriages, but they're still there working. They're still there working, and they can be here for you. But if you're here today, and this sounds all new and really, really hard, and maybe even so far out of reach, it may be because that you've never, in a moment in your time, had a born-again moment where you received Jesus Christ for your own personal Savior. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not physically, but spiritually. To be born again into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not automatic. You got to choose that relationship. What you're going to really need is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, no matter what you see on TV, the Holy Spirit only comes and indwells you after you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not 1 minute before. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he will give you the Holy Spirit to empower you for the kind of living we're talking about. And that's exactly what Jesus wants for you. Jesus began his ministry by saying this in Mark 1:15, the time has come. Maybe your time has come here today. I don't know. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. It's all around us. Repent and believe the good news. It's that simple. I didn't say it's easy. It's simple. Repent and believe the good news. Now, repent means to turn to follow God's way in the Bible. I don't know which way you've maybe been following. Maybe it's your own way. Maybe it's the culture's way. Maybe it's your parents' given way. I don't know. Repent means to turn and follow God's way. God's way. And here it is. The good news is printed on the back of your bulletin. You can read it yourself if you're not familiar with it. And if you have any questions, you can ask whoever you came with. Ask me after service, and I can help you. But if the Lord is tugging on your heart right now, I'm urging you, don't leave here today without responding to what God has for you. God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for every single one of your sins. But you have to choose to admit that you're a sinner. I don't think any of us will find that too hard, I hope. Your conscience will confirm that. And realize that you need a Savior. You can't save yourself. We can't stop sinning. It's too hard. But Jesus has died so that all of our sins can be forgiven. And he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we might be able to get closer and closer daily to that godly living that we all want. Amen? But you need to have that born-again experience at one moment in your time. And today could be that day. Don't leave here if you've never had that moment. See me after service. Read the bulletin. Talk to whoever you came back. But don't leave here without the power of the Holy Spirit being able to help you in your whole life, especially your marriage. Let's pray. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord God, we love you so much. We love you because you care about us. You created us. You made us image bearers so we can reflect you. Lord, we're tainted by sin, so you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to repair that breach in the gap, Lord, that breach in the wall. You sent your Son, Jesus, to forgive all of our sins, Lord. He paid a terrible, terrible penalty for us. But the gift is available to us for free. And Lord, you don't stop there with salvation. You continue to help us to live that godly life that you call us to. The best life we can live right now into eternity. And so, Jesus, you love us. And I pray for all of our marriages, future and present, Lord. I pray that you would bless them and help us all to have 9 or 10 marriages. And Lord, for all the people that have had hurts in their life, maybe they haven't found that right person yet, and it's been painful. Or maybe people that have had divorces, Lord, I just pray that you heal their souls, dear God. Heal their souls. You love them. You love them, Lord, and they can be made whole through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you today, Lord, for your word that will help us have the marriage you want us to have, especially for John and Cassie. I pray that in this next song, Lord, that they would consider the vows that they're about to make, Lord. And may we all be changed by what we heard today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the people said. I want to ask John and Cassie to come forward now to make your marriage covenant before Almighty God. And as they come up, I want to remind everybody, we're going to have a celebration, food. If you're just visiting today for the first time, everybody's invited. Don't leave. There's lots of food. Come and enjoy. John and Cassie would love to have you there. And I got to tell you, too, it's been so enjoyable doing premarital counseling and get to know you. You are two people who truly enjoy each other's company. And it's been so great to watch you look at each other and joke and laugh and talk serious stuff too, but it's been personally fun for me, and I just wanted to say that to you. John Furter and Cassie Pepicelli, I will now ask you to declare your intent. As your agreement, please say, "I do," nice and loud, which reminds me, I had a job to do, and I didn't do it. We want you all to hear. That'll pick you up. John, do you desire to be united in marriage with Cassie, and do you pledge to love her, comfort her, honor her, and be her helper as long as you both shall live?
I do.
Cassie, do you desire to be united in marriage with John, and do you pledge to love him, comfort him, honor him, and be his helper as long as you both shall live?
I do.
John and Cassie will light 2 candles now. Each flame represents their separate lives that Jesus Christ has so faithfully prepared for this day. Please bow your head. We're going to pray now. We come before you, Father, now to join John and Cassie in marriage. May they understand the sanctity and sacredness of the vows that they will now make before you as their ultimate witness. We ask that you give them a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit right now so that their commitments will be sealed deep within their hearts and their pledge to each other will ever be before them. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the people said,
Amen.
You will now make your vows to each other before Almighty God and the witnesses gathered here. You didn't need me to tell you to look at each other. I guess they're ready. Repeat after me. Jean. I, Jean Patrick Furter.
I, Jean Patrick Furter.
Take you, Cassandra Marie Pepicelli.
Take you, Cassandra Marie Pepicelli.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for poorer.
For richer or for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Until death do us part.
Until death do us part.
This is my solemn vow.
This is my solemn vow.
Cassie. I, Cassandra Marie Pepicelli.
I, Cassandra Marie Pepicelli.
Take you, Jean Patrick Furter.
Take you, Jean Patrick Furter.
To be my husband.
To be my husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
In good times and in bad times.
In good times and in bad times.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Until death do us part.
Until death do us part.
This is my solemn vow.
This is my solemn vow. Look your
face. I will now ask you, the family and friends of Jean and Cassie, to make a promise before God and each other. If after you hear this promise you agree, say with me, we will. Now, what I'm going to ask Jean and Cassie to do is to rate your response to see if you really mean what you say. And if they don't think you do, we're going to do it again until we get it right, until they feel you're committed. So listen, and I want to hear a great, big, we will. Will you, the family and friends of Jean and Cassie, do all in your power to uphold their marriage, and will you promise to pray and encourage them that they may fulfill the vows that they have made before God Almighty today? We will. What do you think?
Could do better.
They could do better.
It's their day. Let's try it again. Will you, the family and friends of Jean and Cassie, do all in your power to uphold their marriage, and will you promise to pray and encourage them that they may fulfill the vows that they have made before God Almighty today?
We will!
All right. The wedding ring is a symbol of marriage. The purity of gold symbolizes the purity of your love for each other, and the unending circle symbolizes the unending vows which you have taken, which may be broken in the sight of God only by death. As a token of your vows, you will give and receive the rings. Jean, please give Cassie her wedding ring and repeat after me. Cassie?
Cassie,
with this ring, I pledge my life,
and love to you,
in the name of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit. Cassie, please give Jean his wedding ring, and repeat after me. Jean,
with this ring,
I pledge my life.
And love to you.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit. Now, inasmuch as Christ is the light of the world, and inasmuch as he reigns in your hearts, Jean and Cassie, will you now portray your desire that your loves burn as one flame for Jesus, bringing light and life to a dark world? Jean and Cassie will use their singular candles to light together the Christ candle and then blow out their own. The two shall become one. Since Jean and Cassie have made these commitments before God in this assembly, By the authority of God and the state of Connecticut, I declare that John and Cassie are husband and wife. John and Cassie, you are no longer two independent persons, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, John, you have an option here in view of our times. You may now kiss your bride or do an elbow bump. But wait a minute, listen me out. But if you choose to kiss your bride, it better be a good one because we're going to rate you now.
In sickness and in health.
What do you think? they didn't like it. Try it again. Twelve that time, okay. I think they liked that one, so you're okay now. I'd like to invite up now Hannes Furter, Jean's father, who's going to come up and pray a prayer of blessing over them.
Let's bow our heads. Father God, what an amazing opportunity. Thank you for this time. Thank you that we can be in your presence. Father, this morning my blessing over my children is that you will sanctify them, make them holy, put your band of love around them. Holy Spirit, guide their minds, hold them steadfast in your arms, cover them every day from here on out till you call them home. And Father, for me, my wife Anna Marie, Cassie, for your parents' behalf, David, Donna, I just want to ask you, Lord, give them the joy, give them your love, and let them always be your children. We just thank you for this opportunity and thank you for the amazing blessing to be here in their presence, to be here with them. And Father, as I prayed this morning there with some of the brothers and sisters, thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Frank and everyone here who came together, who reached out to my son and my daughter, who brought them in, who loved on them and accepted them unconditionally. Bless this church. Make this church a shining light in this community. Let their love go out. Let them be the warriors that you called them. Make everyone here the strong witnesses that you called each one of us. And Father, as we sit in your presence, as we sit in your throne room, and we look up to your loving face, let your light shine upon each of us every day. And as we commit it to care for this new family, hold our hands strong, and let us stay committed. And every family from here on out, going out of this amazing church family, let them be the strong, joyful, loving people that you called them to be. Thank you for this privilege. and thank you for this joy. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's now my great honor to present to you, for the very first time, Mr. and Mrs. John and Cassandra Furter.